Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff answering questions emailed to me about Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism. I take questions of general interest, not technical philosophy and not practical politics. I do this every week or two and post it on my website. It's also available on iTunes. If you want to ask me a philosophical question, feel free. Just send it to leonard@peikoff.com. And my last name is Peikoff, P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F as in off. I have a number of questions about Gail Winand and the Fountainhead. Winand gives in to the demands of the strikers, but in Atlas Shrugged, Reardon signs away his property rights. Both actions were the result of the character's faulty premises, and yet Ayn Rand allows redemption to Reardon, but not Winand. Why? Well, there's a big difference between those two characters. Winand has chosen a whole life course based on a false view of reality. Reardon has an entirely positive, proper view of life's course and of his goal, and has devoted his life not to pandering to others, but to rational production. But he has made one important error in his understanding of morality. He's lived a rational life with one error. So you can't compare the two. Over and above which, Reardon is presented as living in a much more controlled economy and as indirectly being under government force, whereas that's not true of Winand. In effect, Winand has to start over from scratch and relive his whole life to be redeemed. Reardon just has to hear Francisco and understand what he hears. Now again on Winand. Is he actually a second-hander in the full sense of the term, and that is one who lives through others? I would say in regard to his soul or character, no. He has independent convictions, independent values. He has true self-esteem. And that's what Ayn Rand tried to convey by saying he was not born to be a second-hander. Not meaning that it was innate, but that the fundamental of his character are valid. But in the course of action which he chose, yes, he is a second-hander. In power lust, as a means to it, pandering, keeping his values hidden, making himself subservient to the choices of others. Now, in Ayn Rand's mind, in judging a person, their action is decisive, not their inner soul, if their soul contradicts their action. That's why, for instance, Leo in We the Living and Andre has a much better, or not much, at least a better, stronger soul than Leo, but Leo she admired, Andre not, because Andre did all the bloodshed in action. Leo held the right ideas, and so far as he could in a dictatorship, carried them out, or at least didn't betray them. And a last one on Winand. Why did he choose to keep the Banner, his newspaper, running while knowing it means self-destruction for him? He knew that this would end his life, so what? And because he knew that either course would end his life, whether he starts the Banner or lets it go, he knows that he can't start his life again. Not only the issue of remaking his whole character, he's too old. At a certain point, you can't begin again and say, now I'm going to live a whole life. his understanding was, my time, my lifespan is essentially up. I will not be able to succeed in any endeavor if I continue as what I am. I don't want to. I see that I'm all wrong, but I have no time or desire to try to do it all again. I'm burned. I'm finished. I can't try it again. So either course, he knew was the end. Religion. Occasionally, I have an awkward encounter with a basically honest, well-meaning person who is religious and assumes everyone else is too. It can range from something as trivial as what church do you go to a parent with a gravely ill child asking me to pray for the child's life, or even one who has just lost a child and tells me what a comfort it is to know the child is now in God's presence. Those are not the right moments to challenge the person's religion. But still, to give the appearance that I agree with religion would make me vomit. What should I do? How should I respond? Well, I certainly agree that I wouldn't come out with a discussion of atheism in those contexts. But you do not have to. You don't have to challenge what they say, nor satisfy what they say. You just answer the question on the topic politely. You say, they say, what church do you go to? You say, I find meaning in philosophy. I find that it's very important in relating consciousness and spiritual issues to matter. You can add or not, I'm not involved with the church. So, if they question you further, say, no, but I want to know the specific church. You say, I don't go to a church. This is my way of agreeing with you that these type of fundamental issues are important. If that's not enough, I can't do more. But most people would say, oh, they understand that's what she wants to feel. You know, those kind of spiritual issues are important to you. You can also, even more dramatically, change the subject in a relevant way. If she asks you to pray for the child's life, I'm not giving you dialogue, but you can say, I really want to help in any way I can, which is the truth, and does not say you agree to play. Or you can say, what a great child, how much I've liked so-and-so. Oh, I'm so sorry, sympathize. And they say, I feel comfort now because he's in God's presence. And you say, yes, and I feel comfort because he's free of suffering. There's ways of meeting, unless these people want to push you. And in this situation, they don't. So I think you can tell the truth. And I don't think you even imply by what I'm saying agreement. You're just moving on elsewhere. Given your stand on Republicans, would you support or vote for a Republican given Obamacare? Now, for years, I have said, don't ever vote Republican. They're the greater threat by far. Religion is what's going to destroy this country. And I don't deny that. And my book, when it comes out, The Dim Hypothesis, is going to defend that. Nevertheless, on this particular concrete, I have to say, yes, I will vote for a Republican in November because of the specific nature of the Obama administration and Democrats. These are people methodically destroying the United States at home and abroad, much more extremely, to a much greater extent and much more rapidly than I expected. Plus, to inject a personal note, Their health care is soon going to blossom with death squads, and that means they are going to very soon be killing off people like me who are over 65, so that becomes a personal reason. Now, I don't believe that when the Republicans are elected in November, which it seems almost certain that they will be, I certainly don't believe they're going to repeal Obama's health care legislation, because they never have repealed an entitlement. They basically agree with the morality underlying it. And once an entitlement gets in, there's a vocal group that benefits from it, that is sucking at that tit of government, and no one is going to quiet them down. So all the Republicans can do is chasten the Democrats for a while and delay for a while. And that gives you more time to fight. I put my general position this way. I always vote long range over short range. And that almost always means Democrat over Republican, which I regard as a great long-range threat. But if and when the short range means immediate death and disaster, then there is no long range to wait for or work for. It's not like it's FDR or JFK where, it's just more bad steps in the mixed economy. It's at the point where if it's not stopped, we'll get to the point where the Republican religionists will walk right in faster than they could have otherwise. I still think it will be the religionists who take over, but a lot faster. And so, despite everything, I will vote Republican this fall, even if I dislike the Republican. Because if a protest is not registered, I can't predict where we're going. I give you a parallel to my view. If there's a man down the street who is manufacturing poison en masse next to a nuclear factory where he's turning out potentially explosive devices, and it will be ready in 10 years to annihilate the country. And as against that, a representative of the mafia gang comes to the door and says, I'm going to shoot you tomorrow or today. I've got the gun aimed on you. And someone says, well, obviously the guy with the chemical warfare and nuclear weapons is a hell of a lot more dangerous, but what good is that to know if you're going to be shot tomorrow? And that's how I see the situation. The Republicans are making the nuclear chemical factory, but right now the Democrats have the gun aimed at our hearts. Now that's the only time, so it's no use telling me all the things that I did wrong. I'm not even supposed to do politics, but I got so many of those, I figured one time only. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peikoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.